Think Habakkuk could have used a song like that. If you haven't been with us, we're looking through the book of Habakkuk. Last week we did chapter 1. This week we're looking at chapter 2. And it's not generally a very exciting, positive Habakkuk. Things have gotten ugly. He is angry, frustrated, calls to God. And God said, "You think things are bad? They're about to get worse." And Habakkuk struggles with that. Struggles with, "God, how can you? I know we're a messed up nation. We've messed up. We deserve punishment. But how can you send an ungodly nation to come and take over this land? I don't even understand." And he comes to God and says, "This is my complaint." I love that. We talked about this last week. Talk to God. Right? Habakkuk, just what a great man of God who brings his complaint to God. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Now, as this second part goes, chapter 2, if you want to follow along, we're not covering a ton of verses. We're going to hit different things. But literally, God, chapter 2 is all about what God is doing. And it's not with the people of Israel. It's with the Chaldean nation that is going to come and destroy Israel. Well, hurt it bad. And this starts off, and in chapter 2, verse 4, it's a dramatic statement. And God is saying, "Behold, these Chaldeans," right? "Their soul is puffed up. It is not upright." It's not a righteous group, these Chaldeans. In fact, the rest of this second chapter, he says, "Woe to you," talking to the Chaldeans, "woe to you, you selfish people who are just using anyone that you can use to get whatever you need. Woe to you, you cruel people who are just not even thinking about anything good for anyone around you. Woe to you, you terrible people who get people drunk just to make them even more foolish in their life. Woe to you, woe to you." Just, this is constant in this. And these are powerful statements because he comes to and says, what's going to happen to people who act that way? Yeah, they may take Israel, but are they going to last? Now, the history is a great thing. The Chaldean nation, that didn't just take Israel. I mean, they were the kings of the world. And they did it in less than 75 years. They were destroyed. Destroyed so bad that I can ask you a question. What do the Chaldeans do today? And you're like, what? What's a Chaldean? Because they were destroyed. Eliminated. By the Lord God. Puffed up people who live their lives merely for themselves, use anything in any way to just live their life because they know they're the important ones. It's a good thing we live in America today. Just saying. No comment. This is where this starts. And he goes to Habakkuk to help him understand this. Yes, I'm raising them up to teach you a lesson. But I'll teach them a lesson too. I am the God who's in control. And as we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, it's a pretty powerful statement for us. God who does this with this nation of the Chaldeans. He says it to us. Humble yourselves. God will cast away your iniquities. God will forgive all your failures, all your mistakes. God is never a God out there to punish you for being a bad person. No, he's a God who died for our sins, sent his son Christ to live a perfect life unlike us. And to give his life for us. And this is powerful. that we can't live a life. We got to humble ourselves as we walk through this world. For we are not the answers. We are not the solution. We are not the mighty ones that the Chaldeans were for a very short time. And I can tell you, Habakkuk, he was angry. He brought this to God, frustrated with the things that God is allowing to do because he doesn't understand that. Why would you allow this terrible nation to take control? I don't understand. And he is upset. And it kind of brings up a great question, because when you read this Habakkuk story, in fact, many of the Old Testament stories, we read and God seems to be a little ticked off. Is God an angry God? I like answers. I think it's funny who has the guts to say them. Is God an angry God? No, yes, sometimes. Good question, good answers. Well, wait a minute. Isn't God supposed to be a joyful God? Isn't that what we talk about now? Jesus, he just loves you, and he's so good for you, and he has nothing against you. Just hold on to the God who just loves you so much. Did it change Old Testament, New Testament? Well, here's the truth. Is God an angry God? Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 says it so strongly. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels wrath every day. You think sometimes you get ticked off at the people doing crazy things in the world? Imagine being God who sees everything. We're usually happy when we have a day where we don't see a lot of the messes that we know are going on, because it would just tick us off. That was a good day. God sees it all. And he is a righteous and true God. And he is angry. Angry about the brokenness of this world. No question. Is God joyful? See, now this is a more tougher thing, because people are like, oh, all I see is the angry God in Scripture. Well, you don't read the Scripture well enough. God is a God of a joyful heart, a God of deep love and joy. For example, Zephaniah chapter 3, Old Testament. I got to start Old Testament, because I know you guys would say, oh yeah, New Testament, but not Old. No, Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. God will rejoice over you with gladness. This was not a good time for the people of Israel, but this is what God says. I will rejoice over you with gladness because my love for you is so great. We can go to many texts. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Psalm chapter 27, verse 23. There's sometimes debates about whether God, when he came down, Jesus, was he just always angry, or was he a joyful person? Look it up. Luke chapter 10, verse 23. He's a rejoicing God. And so you have this challenge. Is God joyful? Is God angry? What about you? Here's the tough one. Does God want you to be joyful? Does God want you to feel anger? This is a tough thing. In the culture in which we live, right? If you dare be angry, oh, that's so inappropriate. How dare you be angry? Anger, oh, that's wrong. We have classes to teach people to never feel angry. Here's a fascinating verse, one that probably you don't think about much. It's one that strikes me so hard every time I hear it. New Testament. Oh. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. What? God just said, whoa, be angry and do not sin. Now, he doesn't say be angry because you're not getting what you want. No, no. He's the God who's not trying to get things he wants. He's a God who's frustrated that the world continues to live for themselves and not do what is right, to not do what is loving, to do not what is kind. This is the same thing that he says to us. Be angry. It's okay that it frustrates you, the brokenness of the people around you, the people you deal with. It's okay that you're a little frustrated. It's godly. I know. Some of you are not sure where this is going, but trust me. Trust me. This is what the Bible says. Be angry and don't sin, right? So I think he says that immediately because this is the thing. When we get angry, then sometimes we lash and do foolish things, all right? He says, look, you have anger. There's a reason for it. It's called justice. It's called seeing what is right and good and being frustrated as God is frustrated. Now, I love what it says just, as that verse continues. Are you ready? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. See, we should get frustrated, but we should hand it to God because we can't hold on to our anger. We can't act out of anger. It's just what we experience through the brokenness of the world. God experiences it. And God is gracious and forgiving and kind. And it's a lot easier for him to be perfect than us. So he says, just let go. Give it to God. If you're angry, don't avoid your anger. Be frustrated, but hand it to the Lord God. Hand it to the Lord your God. The just God is the God who has true anger, never gets it out of track like we do. The just God is also the merciful God who forgives you all your sins and challenges us in the angry moments to be forgiving and gracious. I was trying to come up with a good example for this because this is a tough thing. And all I could think about because I have kids is parenting. Parents, be angry. You want your kids to get better. You don't want them to keep messing things up. That's what you are as parents. Be angry, but don't act in anger. Oh yeah, punish them. Do things to help them grow and turn and teach. It's not bad, but don't hold on to your anger. Allow the love of God to be your strength. Don't let the sun fall down or rise up or whatever it is on your anger. Now, Habakkuk, he's been a great man. He's a man who's doing the things of God, a man who doesn't even understand all this stuff and just dares to throw it to God because he's angry. I don't get this, God. I don't know how this works. Why are you doing it this way? And he brings it to God. That's what we're supposed to do. When the anger time comes, we bring it to the Lord our God. Now, here's a funny fact for you, okay? These woes, right? This is the God of his justice laying it all down. Woe to you who do this. Woe to you who do this. Woe to you who do this. This. Now, Old Testament, just about half the books of the Old Testament use that, where God speaks through people and says, woe to you, woe to you. All right? New Testament. Does God say it in the New Testament? Come on, have a little guts, people. Yes, he does. Now, are you ready? You can look through the entire New Testament, and the word woe comes up in 5 books. You ready? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Revelation. Because the only one who rips and tells about woes is Christ. We're not called to follow Christ and say, woe is you, people. And we know there's people out there that say, you don't know Christ. He will punish you. Woe to you. No, no. Jesus did it. Revelation, again, God is doing it. It's not what we're supposed to do, right? We who feel legitimate anger, who hand it to the Lord God and trust in God to do the things necessary in the broken world that we're in, and love the people with joy. Ooh. Doesn't seem like a very joyful sermon, but that's what it is. That's what God calls us to be and to do. You know, in the Old Testament, Jonah, great man of God, you know, called to go and help the Ninevites, you know, tell them the laws that they deserve God to destroy them, and God is going to destroy you. And this entire book is all about who? Nineveh. Because he's a guy who doesn't want to do it, and he's a guy who, when he puts the proclamation out that God will destroy you, guess what? They repent, and God doesn't destroy them, and he's ticked off because here he's a guy going to say this stuff, and it doesn't even happen that way. He's a guy who doesn't have the heart of God. He's holding on to the anger and not living the life that God has called him to, a life of love and grace. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. We started it off, but the second part of it is powerful, and it's understood better having discussed this stuff first. But the righteous will live by faith. The righteous have a just anger, but the righteous live by faith. We are in your hands, God. You are the God who judges the world. You are the God who is in this country and will do the things that he feels are necessary for the sake of the people whom he loves, which happens to be every single person in the world. I can tell you this, one of the great things, one of the verses I've always loved, Romans, not 8:28, no. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I love this. This is exactly what he's trying to teach Habakkuk. Yes, this is a broken nation. Yes, I'm not surprised you're angry. I'm angry at them. But yes, let go of the anger and live the life that I've called you to love the evil in this world, to love the messed up people, to love them. What do you do when you get angry? What do you do with your anger? Again, Habakkuk prayed, and I love the text that we read. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun fall down in your anger. It's a great thing every night to pray for yourself, a great thing every night to turn it all over to the Lord your God. How do you find joy? See, God, who is a angry God and joyful God, how does he do both? You know, how is he angry and joyful? How does he do that? Well, I'll tell you what. It was a challenging week here at St. Luke's. Did two funerals, and I realize this is a great example for us. Sometimes life is challenging, and funerals, losing people that we love, And I can tell you, when you stand in a funeral where you come and give thanks for who they are, for the people they've been in our life, and you have people who tell stories, and you have people who are laughing and giving thanks to God for the presence of this person in their life. And then you have tears, laughter and tears at the same time. And sometimes we're even asking, why this happened, Lord, why this happens? Where's anger, tears, laughter? It's okay. It's who God is. The righteous God. The God who is angry with the mess ups of this world. But the gracious, loving God, who smiles upon us even in our brokenness, even in our failures. The Lord God loves us and is with us day after day. But the righteous live by faith. If you struggle with anger and you want to let go, live by faith. If you're struggling with joy in the midst of the struggles, live by faith. And the God who made you, the God who loves you so deep, will use you mightily in the world and walk with you in no matter what you face. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you love us. So grateful, Lord, that you are a just God who doesn't just say, oh, it doesn't matter. No, Lord, you are a God who holds this world to the highest expectation. And God, we are so glad that even though we experience just anger, we're so glad, Lord, that we have a God who truly rules over the world, that we hand it to him, for he's the God who runs it. And he tells us, Lord, let go of the anger and grab hold of the gift of Christ, which brings us joy. The God who forgives every person in this world, which allows us to forgive people. And not to beat ourselves up, Lord, we are all imperfect, but you love us no matter what. You forgive us all our mistakes and teach us to forgive the broken people around us, the people that continue to make messes of this world, like the Chaldeans. We pray for them, Lord, because we know what will happen to them. We share Christ with them, Lord, because we know what will happen if they do not grab hold of you. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. In his holy name we pray. Amen.